Chapter 43. Winked both of his small eyes, one after the other, and finally made a motion with his arm, as if he were working an imaginary pump handle, thereby intimating that he, Mr. Trotter, considered himself as undergoing the process of being pumped by Mr. Samuel Weller. No, no, apostrophe said Mr. Trotter, in conclusion, that's not to be told to everybody. That is a secret, a great secret, Mr. Walker. Apostrophe as the mulberry man said this, he turned his glass upside down, by way of reminding his companion that he had nothing left wherewith to slake his thirst. Sam observed the hint, and feeling the delicate manner in which it was conveyed, ordered the pewter vessel to be refilled, whereat the small eyes of the mulberry man glistened. And so it's a secret? Apostrophe apostrophe said Sam. I should rather suspect it was, apostrophe said the mulberry man, sipping his liquor, with a complacent face. I suppose your masters were your itch? Apostrophe apostrophe said Sam. Mr. Trotter smiled, and holding his glass in his left hand, gave four distinct slaps on the pockets of his mulberry indescribables with his right, as if to intimate that his master might have done the same without alarming anybody much by the chinking of coin. Ah, apostrophe said Sam, that's the game, is it? Apostrophe, the mulberry man nodded significantly. Well, and don't you think, old feller, apostrophe remonstrated Mr. Weller, that if you let your master take in this here young lady, you're a precious rascal? Apostrophe apostrophe, I know that, apostrophe said Job Trotter, turning upon his companion a countenance of deep contrition, and groaning slightly, I know that, and that's what it is that preys upon my mind. But what am I to do? Apostrophe apostrophe, do. Apostrophe apostrophe said Sam, divulge to the missus, and give up your master. Apostrophe, who'd believe me? Apostrophe apostrophe replied Job Trotter. The young lady's considered the very picture of innocence and discretion. She'd deny it, and so would my master. Who'd believe me? I should lose my place, and get indicted for a conspiracy, or some such thing, that's all I should take by my motion. Apostrophe, there's something in that, apostrophe said Sam, ruminating, there's something in that. Apostrophe, if I knew any respectable gentleman who would take the matter up, apostrophe continued Mr. Trotter, I might have some hope of preventing the elopement, but there's the same difficulty, Mr. Walker, just the same. I know no gentleman in this strange place, and 10 to 1 if I did, whether he would believe my story. Apostrophe, come this way, apostrophe said Sam, suddenly jumping up, and grasping the mulberry man by the arm. My master's the man you want, I see. Apostrophe and after a slight resistance on the part of Job Trotter, Sam led his newly found friend to the apartment of Mr. Pickwick, to whom he presented him, together with a brief summary of the dialogue we have just repeated. I am very sorry to betray my master, sir, apostrophe said Job Trotter, applying to his eyes a pink checked pocket handkerchief about 6 inches square. The feeling does you a great deal of honor, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, but it is your duty, nevertheless. Apostrophe, I know it is my duty, sir, apostrophe replied Job, with great emotion. We should all try to discharge our duty, sir, and I humbly endeavor to discharge mine, sir, but it is a hard trial to betray a master, sir, whose clothes you wear, and whose bread you eat, even though he is a scoundrel, sir. Apostrophe, you are a very good fellow, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, much affected. An honest fellow. Apostrophe, come. Come, apostrophe interposed Sam, who had witnessed Mr. Trotter's tears with considerable impatience, blow this here water cart business. It won't do no good, this won't. Apostrophe, Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick reproachfully. I am sorry to find that you have so little respect for this young man's feelings. Apostrophe, his feelings is all worry well, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. and as they're so worry fine, and it's a pity he should lose 'em, I think he'd better keep 'em in his own bosom, than let 'em evaporate in hot water, specially as they do no good. Tears never yet wound up a clock, or worked a steam engine. The next time you go out to a smoking party, young fellow, fill your pipe with that ear reflection, and for the present, just put that bit of pink gingham into your pocket. Tain't so handsome that you need keep waving it about, as if you was a tightrope dancer. Apostrophe, my man is in the right, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, accosting Job, although his mode of expressing his opinion is somewhat homely, and occasionally incomprehensible. Apostrophe, he is, sir, very right, apostrophe, said Mr. Trotter, and I will give way no longer. Apostrophe, very well, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Now, where is this boarding school? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is a large old red brick house, just outside the town, sir, apostrophe, replied Job Trotter. And when, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, when is this villainous design to be carried into execution, when is this elopement to take place? Apostrophe, apostrophe, tonight, sir, apostrophe, replied Job. Tonight, apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. This very night, sir, apostrophe, replied Job Trotter. That is what alarms me so much. Apostrophe, instant measures must be taken, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. I will see the lady who keeps the establishment immediately. Apostrophe, I beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe, said Job, but that course of proceeding will never do. Apostrophe, why not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Pickwick. My master, sir, is a very artful man. Apostrophe, I know he is, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. And he has so wound himself round the old lady's heart, sir, apostrophe, resumed Job, that she would believe nothing to his prejudice, if he went down on your bare knees, and swore it, especially as you have no proof, but the word of a servant, who, for anything she knows, and my master would be sure to say so, was discharged for some fault, and does this in revenge. Apostrophe, what had better be done, then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Nothing but taking him in the very act of eloping will convince the old lady, sir, apostrophe, replied Job. All them old cats will run their heads at gin milestones, apostrophe, observed Mr. Weller, in a parenthesis. But this taking him in the very act of elopement would be a very difficult thing to accomplish, I fear, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. I don't know, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Trotter, after a few moments' reflection. I think it might be very easily done. Apostrophe, how? Apostrophe, apostrophe, was Mr. Pickwick's inquiry. Why, apostrophe, replied Mr. Trotter, my master and I, being in the confidence of the two servants, will be secreted in the kitchen at 10 o'clock. When the family have retired to rest, we shall come out of the kitchen, and the young lady out of her bedroom. A post chaise will be waiting, and away we go. Apostrophe, well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Well, sir, I have been thinking that if you were in waiting in the garden behind, alone, apostrophe, alone, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Why alone? Apostrophe, I thought it very natural, apostrophe, replied Job, that the old lady wouldn't like such an unpleasant discovery to be made before more persons than can possibly be helped. The young lady too, sir, consider her feelings. Apostrophe, you are very right, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. The consideration evinces your delicacy of feeling. Go on, you are very right. Apostrophe, well, sir, I have been thinking that if you were waiting in the back garden alone, and I was to let you in, at the door which opens into it, from the end of the passage, at exactly 11:30, you would be just in the very moment of time to assist me in frustrating the designs of this bad man, by whom I have been unfortunately ensnared. Apostrophe, here Mr. Trotter sighed deeply. Don't distress yourself on that account, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. If he had one grain of the delicacy of feeling which distinguishes you, humble as your station is, I should have some hopes of him. Job Trotter bowed low, and in spite of Mr. Weller's previous remonstrance, the tears again rose to his eyes. I never see such a feller, said Sam, blessed if I don't think he's got a mane in his head as is always turned on. Said Mr. Pickwick, with great severity, hold your tongue. Worry well, sir, replied Mr. Weller. I don't like this plan, said Mr. Pickwick, after deep meditation. Why cannot I communicate with the young lady's friends? Because they live 100 miles from here, sir, responded Job Trotter. That's a clincher, said Mr. Weller, aside. Then this garden, resumed Mr. Pickwick. How am I to get into it? The wall is very low, sir, and your servant will give you a leg up. My servant will give me a leg up, repeated Mr. Pickwick mechanically. You will be sure to be near this door that you speak of? You cannot mistake it, sir. It's the only one that opens into the garden. Tap at it when you hear the clock strike, and I will open it instantly. I don't like the plan, said Mr. Pickwick. But as I see no other, and as the happiness of this young lady's whole life is at stake, I adopt it. I shall be sure to be there. Thus, for the second time, did Mr. Pickwick's innate good feeling involve him in an enterprise from which he would most willingly have stood aloof. What is the name of the house? Inquired Mr. Pickwick. Westgate House, sir. You turn a little to the right when you get to the end of the town. It stands by itself, some little distance off the high road, with the name on a brass plate on the gate. I know it, said Mr. Pickwick. I observed it once before, when I was in this town. You may depend upon me. Mr. Trotter made another bow, and turned to depart, when Mr. Pickwick thrust a guinea into his hand. You're a fine fellow, said Mr. Pickwick, and I admire your goodness of heart. No thanks. Remember 11 o'clock. There is no fear of my forgetting it, sir, replied Job Trotter. With these words he left the room, followed by Sam. I say, said the latter, not a bad notion that you're crying. I'd cry like a rainwater spout in a shower on such good terms. How do you do it? It comes from the heart, Mr. Walker, replied Job solemnly. Good morning, sir. You're a soft customer, you are. We've got it all out o' you, anyhow, thought Mr. Weller, as Job walked away. We cannot state the precise nature of the thoughts which passed through Mr. Trotter's mind, because we don't know what they were. The day wore on, evening came, and at a little before 10 o'clock Sam Weller reported that Mr. Jingle and Job had gone out together, that their luggage was packed up, and that they had ordered a chaise. The plot was evidently in execution, as Mr. Trotter had foretold. 10:30 arrived, and it was time for Mr. Pickwick to issue forth on his delicate errand. Resisting Sam's tender of his greatcoat, in order that he might have no encumbrance in scaling the wall, he set forth, followed by his attendant. There was a bright moon, but it was behind the clouds. It was a fine dry night, but it was most uncommonly dark. Paths, hedges, fields, houses, and trees were enveloped in one deep shade. The atmosphere was hot and sultry, the summer lightning quivered faintly on the verge of the horizon, and was the only sight that varied the dull gloom in which everything was wrapped. Sound there was none, except the distant barking of some restless house dog. They found the house, read the brass plate, walked round the wall, and stopped at that portion of it which divided them from the bottom of the garden. You will return to the inn, Sam, when you have assisted me over, said Mr. Pickwick. Worry well, sir. Apostrophe, and you will sit up, till I return. Apostrophe, certainly, sir. Apostrophe, take hold of my leg, and, when I say over, raise me gently. Apostrophe, all right, sir. Apostrophe, having settled these preliminaries, Mr. Pickwick grasped the top of the wall, and gave the word over, apostrophe, which was literally obeyed. Whether his body partook in some degree of the elasticity of his mind, or whether Mr. Weller's notions of a gentle push were of a somewhat rougher description than Mr. Pickwick's, the immediate effect of his assistance was to jerk that immortal Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.